Well, we're teaching on the areas, and I started a series on the areas of tongues. And really, it is the door to the supernatural. And I found it out personally myself when I started off my own personal testimony. I got born again, and a few months later, which really, born again really changed my life. I mean, my life, what it was, and this thing so changed. But when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I found this out, that there was something really changed. I mean, I found, like with myself, and I always say this, it was like getting born again. Because there's another things that started operating through me that, what I found out as I got to understand the Word, that the things that started happening through me were things that the Bible said would happen. And I wasn't born and raised in any of those types of things or what was going on. And this is one of the things that we want to look at. And I just want to say this in opening up and teaching today. We talked about it on Wednesday night and teaching in covenant. And I want to say this to you because people question, and you're going to have people come and question whether or not the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for today. There's all kind of the majority of the church world believes it doesn't. Majority of the church world out here, most people that say that they're born again, they don't believe that the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, is for the church. They think they've been taught it's passed away. But we need to understand this. We know for sure that it's supposed to be for the church because Jesus himself said so. Jesus did. Now, we need to understand this about covenant. And I want to say this. I talked about this on Wednesday night, but I want you to get across to this because if anybody can prove to me that tongues isn't for today, then our covenant is not for today and salvation is not for today. Because then Jesus lied and the Bible is worthless. Now, we need to understand this about this covenant. When God made covenant, we have the covenant God made with Noah. God made a covenant with Noah after the flood. God made a covenant with Noah, and he made a sign for that covenant. And it was a rainbow. He covenanted with him that he would never flood the earth completely again like he did. And he said, this is the sign of the covenant. In other words, when you look and see this sign, you'll know that this will never happen again, what just happened. It'll never happen again. Anytime you see a rainbow, that means that covenant still stands today. We just think, oh, they're pretty. But the church don't even know much about what it means. When you see the rainbow, it is a sign that that covenant stands today. Amen. God's covenant don't change. When God covenants. Well, you know, God made a covenant with Abraham. There was a sign of that covenant. It was circumcision. It was the sign of that covenant. That's what he told him. Now, we can go on. Every covenant has signs to it that God ever made. Well, we have covenant has signs. And the signs of our covenant, Jesus said in Mark 16, the signs of our covenant. He said this. He said, go in the world, preach the gospel, you guys. Amen. He said, those who believe and are baptized will be saved, and those who don't believe will be condemned. But he said, but these signs shall follow them that believe. These are the signs of the covenant. Said they will cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. See, if tongues stop, well then, the covenant's no good anymore. We don't cast out devils. He said they drink any deadly thing, it's not going to harm them. They'll pick up snakes, you know, and that's it. But he said they're going to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. These are the signs of our covenant. We don't have any proof that we have a covenant without the signs. The majority of the church world has no signs of their covenant. We don't have any signs of it. They don't believe we're supposed to have the signs of this covenant. Covenants have signs. There are proofs. Signs are proofs. And if you ain't got any proof, I got proof, I'm born again. I got proof.
Amen.
You know, some people say, well, I got born again, I got to change life. Well, I tell you what, I know I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Somebody says I'm full of the Holy Ghost and they ain't got no signs. Well, then there's a problem. There are signs that follow. Now, would God do something and then not manifest what he said? Well, God, that'd make him a liar, and he ain't a liar. So he'll manifest them. See, we should have great expectations, you know. It was one of the things, thank God for tongues, and we're teaching on the areas of tongues because they're a great benefit to us. But we need to understand, we should have the desire for these signs. These are the signs to the world that God has made a covenant with man. These are proofs to the world, to the sinner. The sinner needs more than talk.
Amen.
They need to hear a lot better than God loves you. We hear the word love thrown around like, you know, it's cheap dirt. Love produces something. Love is not talk. Love is a doing. God proves He loves by what He does. If you, you know, you can tell somebody you love them all you want, you'll never do nothing. Don't be surprised they don't believe you. These are proofs of God's love for humanity. You know, we don't like, you know, like around tongues and that stuff. The church is all, gets all nervous about that and other things. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 chapter, he said tongues is a sign to the unbeliever. Oh, we like to say, well, we don't want to do that around. We might scare them off. Well, God didn't believe that. See, that's man's belief. You know, it always makes people nervous when you get over in supernatural, because see, the supernatural doesn't operate by natural. It doesn't. See, most people today, even from the faith standpoint, most people know in the church world know very little about faith. They're trying to have faith by what they see, what they say. Faith does not. Faith is about the unseen. I'm believing in things I can't see. I speak in tongues. And you know what? Unless God gives me an interpretation, I don't know. But you know what? I ain't quitting speaking in tongues.
Amen.
Why? Because I'm not moved by what I see or feel.
Amen.
I'm not moved by that. That's not what we do. And so we need to understand this, because there is, and we talked about this here before, there's a difference between tongues in your personal life and the manifestation of the gift of tongues. Like this morning we had tongues and interpretation. That's a manifestation of the gift of tongues as the Spirit wills. But a person baptized in the Holy Ghost, that's not the gift of tongues. That's the personal gift God gave that individual for their own personal devotional life. That's what it's for. And we're going to talk about that, because this morning we're going to look at Isaiah. Isaiah had said something about that. Now, Jesus said one of the signs that follows the believers is they will speak in new tongues. That word tongues there in the Greek means a naturally unacquired language. It's not something learned. You don't learn it. God gives it. You know, Paul said when you pray in tongues, he said, my spirit prays. It's something that comes out of your inner man. It's not something that comes from your mind. You know, the wonderful thing that I like about the Bible and walking in the things of God, it isn't about my genius. It's about the genius that lives in me. See, I don't have to be, you know, it's just like, you know, today we use computers and things. You know, I don't have to know everything. I can look it up on a computer today. I can, you know, and I don't have to be the genius guy in the block to remember everything. But I can be as smart or even smarter than the guy that thinks he's so smart. Because if I use a computer, I can know more than he knows. Well, we have the Holy Ghost in us. We like a living computer inside us that knows everything. I don't want you to think about that. You've got inside of you the answer to everything you'd ever want an answer on. He's inside of us. That's where He is. He's in there. He's living on the inside. Well, how do you get contact with Him? Not through your mind. Through your spirit. And the inside. The inner man. See, the Bible talks about there's an inner man and an outer man. See, there's an inner man. And that inner man, that's the eternal part of us. And that's where the Holy Ghost communes with that inner man in the inside. Thank God, you know, we get things, and that's what the Bible says, we need to renew our minds. So in other words, He isn't living in your mind. He don't live in your mind. Or you would need to renew it.
Amen.
You need to renew it because it needs to be changed. See, we want our mind to get conformed to what's in us.
Amen.
Inside of you already. Inside of you, there's the one called the know-it-all lives inside of you. He knows it all. He's a know-it-all. Now, see, some people think they are, you know. But I'm sorry. But the know-it-all does live in us. And He's inside of us. And what He wants to take what's inside and dawn it on your mind. And see, He does it. We go and study the Word. He teaches us so we can renew our mind. So we can think like what's on the inside of us. That's what He wants you to do. That's what we're doing. Now, we need to understand this is doing this. There are supernatural things involved. Number one, you've got to be able to come in contact with your human spirit. This is one of the things that you need to understand this. This is the greatness about devotional tongues. It's about you being able to get hooked up with what's on the inside of you instead of trying to. See, most people, I find this in Christian world today. Most Christians live by the knowledge, outside knowledge of God. You know, people turn around and say, I can tell there's a God because, look at the beauty of nature. Well, you can see what He created, but I'm going to tell you what, you don't know the Creator just because you saw what He made. You go out there and look at a picture an artist painted, that ain't the artist. You couldn't recognize him by seeing that painting. If they put 50 people in a room and say, which guy painted it, you wouldn't know. You just have to make a guess. You can't know God by what He does. These are the things that manifest through Him, because the church world today, loads of Christians thinks God makes you sick. Loads of Christians believe God does all kind of things that ain't good that He's doing. So you can't look at stuff that's going on and tell what God's like. I can tell what God, I saw all kind of things. I've been around this country and many places out in the world, other places. And I've seen a lot of beauty and a lot of things. But my God is so much greater than what I've ever seen.
Amen.
See, as we want to, and this is what the Holy Spirit teaches us and brings us to a place, and it's through the contact on the inside. You see, I might be anointed and I can teach, but see, you have to get things in your spirit, and your spirit, you have the Holy Ghost in you to teach you. It isn't, this is why, you can't just go out here and just listen to somebody teach. You got to find out for yourself. You got to listen to the Holy Ghost for yourself. You have to do that. See, too many people get led astray by things, and it's easy for them to do because they follow men instead of what's in them. This is why, stay close to the Word. And the Holy Ghost, the teacher in you, you'll do fine. You'll do great. That's what you do. So, you need to do that. Now, God anoints teachers. I thank God. I learn a lot of wonderful things from the Scriptures from them. But one thing I do is I don't just believe anything anybody said just because they said it. I go to the Word and find out. Hallelujah. And that's what we want to continue to do that. But I want to go to Isaiah this morning. We want to look at Isaiah, the 28th chapter, because it says something in Isaiah which is really important concerning what we're talking about. And it gives us a revelation that God gave to Isaiah, which really is for us today. Remember this about prophecies of the past and things. Really, we're the church is the fulfillment of so many prophecies. The church is. Now, Israel, there were certain things in those prophecies. And you'll find this out about prophecy if you study it over time. Prophecies, they used to call them dual prophecies, is what they were. They were the time they had a meaning of the time that they were spoken, but there also was a fulfillment of meaning for the future. And so a lot of prophecies like that. Because today a lot of people, that was just for Israel. No, the church is the fulfillment of the law in Christ Jesus. And if I'm in Him and He was the fulfillment of the law, then the law is fulfilled in the church. The love of God shed, we got born again, the love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. We are the fulfillment of the law. We walk by love and not by thou shalt not. If you walk in love, you won't lie, cheat, and steal, kill people. You won't do none of that. You walk in love. The love of God shed abroad in my heart. I'm not trying to keep the law, my words. No, I just walk in love. You're not going to do it. And you know what? If you're a Christian and you miss it, your own heart, that love shedding in, will turn around and criticize you for it. They'll say, knock that off. You shouldn't be doing that. Your own heart will do that. People say, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost don't need to do that in you. Your own heart will tell you, knock it off. That's your conscience. And you know what? Your conscience is full of the love of God. If the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, and your heart really, the voice of your conscience is the voice of your inner man telling you, don't do that. No, stop that. Or go ahead and do that. That's on the inside. That's how we get led on the inside. Your mind will sit there and say, that seems crazy. Why would we do that? And on the inside it says, go ahead and do that. I've had that happen so many times. I thought, it seemed like a dumb thing to do. And you go do it. It's like, it's exactly what people needed. I didn't know. But you didn't know it in your mind. You had no idea in your mind. But God said, go do that. Hallelujah. See, He's the know-it-all. He's smart. Amen. He knows what everybody, how everybody ticks. We don't. If He doesn't reveal to us, we don't know. We can't look at people on the outside and tell what they're really like. Yeah, people can look good on the outside. Jesus told the Pharisees, you guys, He said, you're whitewashed sepulchres. You look great on the outside, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. are. You see, you can't, you don't know by the outside. And nobody that smart. Most of the church world today operates in psychology. They're looking at everybody on the outside and trying to judge everything. I'm sorry, that ain't the way it works. We don't work by psychology. I ain't that bright. Thank God. I need God. I don't know about you. I need God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I lived with me for 30 years. It was an awful thing. My God. You know, drunk and drugging, doing all kind of crazy stuff. That's what I got. You know, God, without God, you're in trouble.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we want to walk with God. Now in Isaiah 28, verse 9, I'm going to start reading there from. It says, whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk? Those just drawn from the breast? So he's asking a question about, this is about teaching. Now listen to what he says. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little, there a little. Now if you want to, that's the principle of teaching. See, if God's going to call you in the areas to teach, that's what you're going to do. You know, is it? Did you notice he says, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept. Teaching is repeating. See, when people today, we don't have many people today. We have today the church world is full of babies. It's full of babies. They don't like to hear the same thing over and over. Babies don't. Babies always want something new. All the time, something new. No, learning is precept upon precept. You keep going over things till you get it. You know what? If you can't do it, you ain't got it. I don't care how many times you heard it. Till you can do it, you ain't got it. I don't care how much you can sit around and repeat things and say things other people say. Can you live it? That's another story.
Amen.
That changes everything. And I found out there's things I've listened to over the years over and over again. I have series of teachings that I have listened to hundreds of times. And every time I've listened to them, I always get another revelation out of it. I always learn something else. I learn something else from it. What? Something else that I can practice, put to work, and do. Something else. See, learning is about doing this. Well, he says this. Now, the wonderful thing, now he stops and he says this. Verse 11. He said, for with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Now I want you to see this. This is the prophet speaking by the Spirit of God. Now he's telling us, he said, I'm going to speak to these people in stammering lips and another tongue. He said, I'll speak to them, but they're not going to listen. They're not going to hear. Now, we know this as Jesus was talking. The fulfillment of this wasn't at that time because Jesus came along. And when Jesus came there, he talked about Israel himself when he walked around here. You know, he was out and he gave the parable of the sower. And the Bible tells us that after the parable of the sower was given, it says his disciples, he said the 12 with the rest of the disciples, there was many disciples who followed Jesus. There were certain ones he picked out specifically that walked closest with him, but there's many who followed him very closely, were with him all the time. So they came to him and they said, after he gave the parable to sower, they said, what was that about? You talked. And he said, for you it's to know this. He said, for them on the outside. See, there's many people came and they wanted the blessing that Jesus has. They wanted the healing. They wanted all those things. But this is one thing you need to understand. You ain't going nowhere unless you're a disciple.
Amen.
That's disciple. Disciple is simply this, as a person who follows the words of the person that they're following. That's what a disciple is. See, there's much of Christianity today has what they call Christianity, but actually it's a different gospel. They have different ideas. They have different. It's just like Paul told the church at Galatia, you got another Jesus. See, they started believing Jesus in a different way. You know, he said, you got another Jesus that I don't know. You ain't got the same Jesus. I've met loads of Christians like that. When I talk Jesus, they got another Jesus than I got. They have another ideas. They have another thoughts about that. Well, he said to them, they'll hear or not understand. They're not going to know. See, these people, why? Untaught. Untaught people. We need to understand. This is why we all need teaching. I mean, I need teachers. I take time and listen to teachers. I take time and go to meetings and listen to other people. I listen. Why? I need to learn. I ain't arrived. And we'll never, nobody arrives here. We have God. Our God knows everything. I mean, just think about it. He never has an original thought. He can't. If he got a new one, if he got a new thought, then he don't know everything. Now see, I can't imagine in my mind a being like that. And that's my dad. That's my dad. He knows everything. He'll never come up with a new thought. Why? That mean he don't know everything. It's like, I just can't imagine. And he decided to save me. He decided to make me his kid. This is astounding stuff. I mean, if people ever meditate and thought, you know, most people's God's about this high. They never imagine him and his greatness that he is. See, when your God really becomes great, it's like, my God. See, God can do anything. See, people make that statement, and most people that ever make that statement have no idea what they say. Because they think so small about their God. It's like God don't know. You know, I hear ministers say all the time, well, you know, Jesus can't come back till we get all this stuff straightened out, get everything fair. And I always just say to them, well, then let's not walk right and live right, then Jesus can never come back. See, people talk so stupid. You think Jesus don't know when he's coming back? If he don't, he ain't God. See, everybody goes, well, in the earth, he said here that he don't know, only the Father knows. You need to understand, he was operating as a man then. He wasn't operating as God. Today, he's God. All authority in heaven and earth belongs to him. Let me tell you, he knows. And you know what? We're seated in heavenly places in him. Woo! Do you think he's trying to hide things from us?
No.
Nah. You see, this spirit-filled life, this life of the Spirit, we need to get more and more intrigued in it. There's more and more to it. But you know, see, if we don't teach it and we don't talk about it, further revelation don't come. People want revelation from God. I just want to say this. If you're not a studier and seeking after God, revelation don't come to you. It don't work that way. It only comes to those who are seeking. If you seek, you find. If you knock, it's open to you. If you don't seek, you don't find. If you don't knock, it don't get open. It's that simple. All kind of people. You know what? They even want to use the church as a place you come to. You don't pay no attention to God all week and then come and sit down on a chair and then you're going to get something. Probably not. You ignore God all week and he'll ignore you when you show up. See, we've got to treat him. You know, we've got to treat him with honor. We've got to treat him with great respect. We talk about fearing God. It ain't being afraid. I ain't afraid of him. But we've got to honor him for what he is.
Amen.
And he's far above Ed. He's far above me. Far above me. In wisdom and understanding. You know, we say, in him we live and move and have our being. You know, God could throw the switch and turn everything off. And I'll tell you, man's finished. Man's done. See, nobody in this earth has that power. People get ready, these people are going to blow up the earth. I'm sorry, I read the Bible. That ain't happening. The earth will blow up one day, but that's God's thing. But don't you worry about it. We ain't going to be hearing the explosion. Glory to God. We're going to be in glorified bodies. Hallelujah. And we'll be over in the new heaven and new earth. Okay? Hallelujah. So we won't worry about none of that. Glory to God. But see, we got to get our thinking changed. And this is why it's dealing in the areas tongues. Tongues is a supernatural thing. It's something super. It's not natural. It's not natural that you would speak languages. It's one of the things is a revelation God gave me numbers of years ago. It was out of a book of Marietta Davis who got caught up to heaven. But when she was caught up to heaven, she was talking with some angels, were showing her things around. Now, this happened back in the early 1800s. And she saw some different things and stuff. She talks about what, you know, her time that she was there. But anyhow, the angels, these two angels would stop and talk to each other in other languages. And she didn't understand. And finally she said to them, says, do you do that because you don't want me to know what you're talking about? And the angel said to her, no. He said, there's things that cannot be said in earthly languages. See, we have earthly thinking all the time. We have very earthly thinking. In other words, all the languages that we have in this earth, there's things that cannot be expressed or said in languages here. Now, I found this out to be true by traveling and ministering places. I found this out. Different places I ministered and using interpreters, I found out certain language and stuff that we use can't be expressed in their language. Like I found out the Hindi language, they don't have a word for love in Hindi. They don't have a word for it. So you can't, see, there's things that can't be said in the same way in our language that is said in their language. Well, heaven has some languages. God wants to bring things to pass in the earth, and through tongues, we allow Him to bring them in. God does not barge in and do whatever He wants. See, people say God's in control. When I always say this, well, if He is, He's sure made a mess of things. This earth is a mess. All this, is He in control of the mess? No. Man is in authority here. When God gave dominion to Adam, man now has it. Now man chooses whether we want to allow God to work here. Why would I pray to ask God to do things if He's in control? I don't need to pray a thing. Why would I pray and ask for it? He's going to control it all anyhow. We pray because we're giving Him permission to do here. Why did He say, pray that my will is done on earth like as it is in heaven? If He's in control, why don't He just bring heaven into the earth and make it happen? Why don't He do it? No, we are in control here. This is ours. God gave us control. We ask Him to bring His will and His purposes into this earth to bless humanity. That's what we're doing. Tongues gives us the ability to pray heaven's will beyond our own knowledge. That's a wonderful thing. Amen. When I found that out, now, I had an experience one time dealing with that because, you know, I knew that when we prayed, we're doing things that, you know, we're bringing things that we don't know about. See, if you only can pray in the line, see, anybody who's a Christian that don't pray in tongues, they can only pray as far as their knowledge goes. Well, I'll tell you, it's limited. Oh, my God. You know? See, people think they're so smart. Well, I've heard Christians say this, ministers say to me, well, why do I can know what I want to pray, and why would I pray in tongues? And I think, he thinks he knows something. He thinks he's smart. He's more limited than the guy that can't read. Because why? The arrogance to think that we're so smart that we just know everything to do and pray about. Heck, I found this out over the years. I remember one time the Lord dealing with me on an area and that stuff, telling me about a problem I'm dealing with, and I wasn't even close to thinking what I knew what was right about that problem. And it was my problem. But He had to reveal to me what was wrong. And when I saw it, I thought, oh, yeah, He's right, isn't He? Yeah. You see, we're limited in knowledge. God is unlimited in knowledge. He wants you and I to be able to say things heaven wants to do and bring them into the earth. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to see this because we read this. With stammering lips, and he said, he will speak this people. He said, this is the rest with which will cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. In other words, tongues for us personally. And I want you to understand this. This is what I like about it. See, God gave me something that I can do when the pressure's on, when the battle's on, things are going on. See, I can stay refreshed. Do you ever feel weary sometimes? You feel like, you know, and I'm not talking about physical feelings. Sometimes spiritually you can say, it's like you're not connecting. Do you ever get into that? And there's nothing wrong with you, but you get over in the areas, you know that there's something to know, but you don't know. You know this. Well, this is a refreshing. And he always says, it's a refreshing. It is rest for the weary, to bring rest to you. See, we're always trying to do things naturally. I don't go on vacations So, because I'm worn out in ministry and I need a rest. If you get worn out in ministry, it's because you're in the flesh. Let me just tell you that. Oh, let's be hard for people. I need to get away. I've learned from the time that I first got born again. I don't go on vacation. You know, people go on vacation, well, they're worn out. I'm going to go on vacation and have some fun. You know, I just got worn out. My God, I got to go. I'm going to go have a good time. I mean, it's good to sometimes get break away from things you are doing. I found this many times in vacation. I've never been on a vacation since I'm born again that God hasn't given me a revelation of things. And ideas of things. Why? Because I broke away from what I naturally do, and I found that He can talk to me about things that I ordinarily wouldn't have paid attention to. I guarantee you, I go on vacation, I come back with a revelation. I come back, you know. I go out there and go, oh, it is so hard in the ministry, it's so hard out here. Whoa, it's so, yeah, I swear, it is just so hard. No, if it's hard, it's because you're unspiritual. Because you're doing what you do in the natural. You're trying to... You can't sustain ministry in the natural. Where are you at? You can't do it. You can't do it. People will try to wear you out. See, I ought to get wisdom from God. I don't allow people to wear me out. They ain't going to ever do it. Hallelujah. They go with all their shenanigans and do all they got. I'm going to smile. That irritates them. You know, I'm not going to go. Hey, I ain't God. I can't fix everybody's problem. I don't know everything. You know, so and then, but people come. They think you ought to know everything, and you don't give them the answer that they want, and they, you know, they're upset. They don't like it, and I don't care. You know, go talk to God. I have to. I always ask people, well, who do you think I go to when I want to know something? You learn to go the same guy. Yeah, but I'm too busy to seek God myself. So I just thought you'd seek God for me, you know. And then and I just get the answer and then I go back and live my dirty life anyhow. I'll tell you, it's getting good, isn't it? But He said there's a rest. So in other words, this tongue thing, He said, God's going to offer Israel a rest. He's going to offer them something that will refresh them. But because of this, bad teaching. See, they didn't teach. When Jesus came to Israel, they had never understood what the law was about. The Bible, we know this. And the law is the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. They weren't interested in the Messiah. We got the law. They didn't show that the law shows you this. It's the Bible says the law is the knowledge of sin. I wouldn't have gotten saved without the knowledge of sin. I wouldn't have needed a Savior until I found out what a dirtbag I was. Mm-hmm. Then I know I needed saved. Mm-hmm. I knew I was in trouble. I knew I was going to eternal prison because of judgment on me according to the law. Those people never understood that. They never got that. They didn't teach. There's number one, you study the law. This is what you'll find out. You can't keep it. Hey, I was raised in religion. And you know what? It was wearing them out. It wears you out trying to keep that law. It wears them out. You know, and a lot of people, they want to be friendly, but after a while, you ain't friendly. You know, that's where probably those were the people who went to lunch. They came out of a church and they heard the law preached and they weren't walking right. And they go out to lunch and take it out on the servers. But see, the law had its purpose and they weren't teaching and men did. You know, they're talking about waiting for the Messiah. They think the Messiah is coming because they're so good and God's going to... The Messiah, Jesus didn't save me because I was good. He saved me because I was a dirtbag who needed saved. I was in trouble. He was not moved by my goodness. Any goodness I have did nothing for me. So, See, you get this idea, people need to change their thoughts. They weren't being taught. God says, look, I have something you can, no, all, we got all we need, we got the law. Good luck on that one. You know, look what it's cost Israel down through the centuries because of this. Look what it cost them. It's cost them dearly for the rejection of the Messiah. You know? But you know what? God ain't giving up on them. We still covenant. Still, see, God made a covenant. God made a covenant with Abraham, and he said it's an everlasting covenant. Now, I want you to get this. It's an everlasting covenant. Israel still has an everlasting covenant with God. Hallelujah. But you and I have a covenant based on better promises. You and I stepped into the new covenant. Woo-wee! You and I got the good one. Hallelujah. This covenant is filled with supernatural things. You know, I've often wondered, why would God make tongues the first manifestation of being filled with the Holy Ghost? Why? Because it is a key to the entering into the rest of it. It's the key. Because why? It's the exercise of your spirit. And it requires faith to do it. When you and I sit around, when I'm praying in tongues, I'll pray in tongues about what, you know, sometimes I'll sit down and pray about a subject on something going on with somebody. I pray 2 minutes about what I know about the subject. And I say, okay, Holy Ghost, whatever I don't know, I'm just going to yield to you and I'm going to pray in other tongues and allow you to pray through me whatever it is it takes to fix this thing and this problem that I don't see. Because I learned a long time ago, I don't see a lot. I don't spiritually know exactly what makes a person tick. Why a person's doing what they're doing. What is happening? I'll tell you, I found this out. Lots of times you'll find this about somebody, especially people that annoy you. When you get praying around for them, lots of times you take on a great compassion for them. When, especially, sometimes God lets me see what's really going on. And I think about, you know, I've been so upset at them. And really, they're in a bad spot. They need help. And see, you need, this is one thing. See, tongues will open the door to the supernatural. It'll open the door to your spirit. And in the realm of the spirit, you can see things you can't see naturally. It's like one time, you know, I'd pray in tongues and praying in tongues and especially saying things. I got praying in tongues and I had a vision. And in this vision, I had a vision and I saw, it was like looking out into space. And I thought, this is sort of weird. And then I see groups of angels. I see these groups of angels. And I'm there, and I'm still in the vision. I'm still praying in tongues. And I'm seeing this vision, and I'm thinking, what is this? You know? And then I see angels all of a sudden just take off. Go somewhere, a bunch of angels. And I just keep praying in tongues, and then all of a sudden, a group of angels take off and go. I'm thinking, what is it? I don't know, see? And I wouldn't have got an answer probably till I opened my mouth and I said, Lord, what am I seeing? What is this? He said, when you're over here praying in tongues, he said, you're like a commander sending out troops to go do things. Amen. And I thought, dear Lord, I'm in the army of God, but I didn't know I was sending, you know, we do things natural. Bible tells us angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for the heirs of salvation. So, you know, but by knowledge, here I am, by God operating through my spirit, me praying in tongues that some people say is ridiculous, is allowing God to send angels to carry things out, to go against things or help things or whatever they're doing. You know, praying in tongues. See, when you're praying in tongues, realizing what on earth you're doing, you know. Somebody pray in tongues and change nations. See, I wouldn't know what to pray about all these. I don't know what people think to pray about these other. You know, God help so-and-so. Help them what? Change the tire in their car? I mean, what do you mean help? God help them. I don't even know a lot of times what to ask God to help a person. They're in this tough situation, a lousy place. But I don't know what needs to be done. But thank God I can say, Lord, I don't know, but you sure do know. Tell you what I'll do. Let's use my mouth for a while. You know? I don't need it right now. I'd probably say something stupid. So let's hook up with what's on the inside. And let's speak out these things so you can bring your wisdom, so heaven can be brought to earth. See, I know God has nothing but blessing for this earth because Jesus himself said we're supposed to pray that God's will would be done on earth like it is in heaven. Well, there ain't no sickness, poverty, no evil, nothing up there. So I know this. Stuff don't come from God. People say, I'm going to go to heaven. It's going to be wonderful and everything. Well, why would you think that? You think God's making people sick? Well, if he does, Mr. Sick's living in heaven. God's there, ain't he? And he's making people sick, so they have to have it. If he's there. Well, there ain't none of that there. This is all because of the curse. If you and I are redeemed from the curse.
Yes.
Deuteronomy 28. Read the curse and read the blessing. There's no curse in the blessing. And there's only curse in the curse. And there's no good in the curse. Not one good thing. Every evil thing you can think of, and it ends with this, and any other ugly thing you can think of. That's the way it ends. You know, this ain't even the entire list. And man, you get sick halfway through reading that thing. It's like, oh my God, this is as ugly as it gets. And he didn't say, you know, you're going to be, you are redeemed from the curse today. Receive that. Praise God. Put it on your mouth. I'm redeemed from the curse. Hallelujah. I'm redeemed from the curse. Hallelujah. Ugly tries to come on me. No, that's not mine. That's not mine. You know, I found this, you know. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and it's true. You keep this thing going. Death and life. And you're talking the right things about it. You're redeemed from the curse. Hallelujah. I'm redeemed. Always know this. God's on your side. He's not against you. God wasn't against me when I was a sinner. Well, he wouldn't have saved me if he was against me. He'd have said, Ed, tough luck, you know. We're going to somebody else. You know, you're done. But he didn't. You see, God is on the humanity side. God ain't picking and choosing who he loves. He's out reaching out to the world, no matter how ugly they are. You know. Like a guy told me when I got saved, you're the last guy I thought we got saved, and he's a Christian. And I said to him, I said, well, I know you weren't praying for me. You didn't think God liked me that much. God couldn't like a scumbag like Ed. God loved me and saved me in spite of that idiot. Well, it was. I mean, a guy totally, Christian, totally ignorant of God. Don't know how good he is. And then talking to people about God. I wonder what God he had. I only know my God doing good. I don't know him any other way. He's never been trying to trip me up.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But see, this is about getting over thinking on a different level. And this is why, see, the church world doesn't think a level. So they go over to the areas of tongues, and this is like some kind of weird thing. This is weird. They don't think believing God's trying to kill you. You know, I hate this bit. You know, well, God took somebody. God didn't take anybody.
Amen.
He ain't up here taking people.
That's right.
He said he'd satisfy you with long life and show you salvation. People leave this earth. It has to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with me. Now, I've learned this was back about 20 years ago. I get over and think, you know, I've had some experiences over in the area of the Spirit. I'll tell you what, you can get sort of tired of it here in this earth. Because you get touching over on that side. Well, it's nice. See, when somebody dies, I can almost envy them. Say, my God, they got to go and we stay. They got to leave and we got to be here. But see, I got over it. Literally, this happened. I got over it. At first, I didn't realize. I got longing to leave. I got longing to leave. I got longing. I thought, it would get on my mind. I'd think about it. I think, man, stepping over into that glory and just hearing this, but stepping over into that God, you know, there's so much God does here. But you need to understand, you're still in this death-doomed body that limits you. You're limited, whether you realize it or not. This death-doomed body, this is, you know, it is a dead thing. They used to do this to soldiers back down. The Romans would do it. They attack people. They'd take a dead person, and really it was a tortured guy. They'd strap a dead body on his back and make it carry it around. Well, that rotted body would eventually rot into the individual that's carrying them too. They would do things like this, you know. And whether you realize it, you're carrying this dead, rotten thing. Yes. This death-doomed body limits our abilities with God. That's why I understood when Paul said we're looking through a glass darkly. We carry out in this earth the will of God through a body that's imperfect. And many times, it is whether you realize it becomes a drag to you. You know, this is why today people such, their number one importance is their body. Well, you know, you should have, you want to keep your body, you know, in some good condition. You don't want to be sick. You don't want to be, but we need to get over and get thinking right. But anyhow, I got into this area where I found myself really wanting to leave. I just thought, man, and you don't realize it. See, we need to understand about faith. You know, people make this statement. Well, God would never give you anything that, you know, he didn't want you to have. Don't you ever believe that. That's the dumbest thing in the world anybody would say. God didn't want Israel to have a king, but they took one, didn't they? God won't give you anything that he don't want you. No, you can believe for things and get things you wish you'd have never got. That's why, you know, grow up some before you put your faith out to certain things because, you know. Anyhow, I just got along. And one day, the Lord, I was just spending time in prayer, and the Lord spoke to me and said, knock it off. Now, those are the words he said first. He said, knock it off. And I thought, what? Oh, and all of a sudden, I knew. He said, you got to stop this. He said, it's not time for you to go. Now, but you know what? Now, you need to understand this. I could have stayed in that direction if I wanted to.
That's right.
I had a choice. You weren't making me quit.
Amen. Right.
See, people do things that bring them toward death. People do things and they don't realize it. They do things that bring them toward death. And they don't realize it. See, it's number one, we don't realize from our standpoint that in this earth, the authority that you and I have here in this place. And one of the wonderful things dealing with the areas of tongues is dealing this standpoint is the fact, number one, keeping yourself over. It's one of the things, see, as I found, praying and doing things over in this area of the spirit, you learn, especially over time, your spirit becomes very sensitive to the things in the spirit by praying out things you don't understand. But yet, what it'll do to you, give you a lot of understanding. Your spirit, you're a spirit being. You were born again. Your human spirit has been recreated in Christ Jesus. Now, when I got born again, I looked in the mirror. The outer man was still the same dude looking back out at me. That's what it is. But I'm going to tell you, the inward man was a changed guy. He was changed. And I got filled with the Spirit. And I found this, the more I can become active in my inner man. Paul said this, I pray in tongues more than you all. Now, he had a church he's talking to in Corinthians who this seemed to be the tongue-talking capital of the world. They were in church. That's all they were going to church, just talking in tongues. They were just, you know. Now, you know what? Now, he didn't criticize them because they talked in tongues. He taught them when to allow tongues to be used, when not to be. In other words, how to bring it in. But he never told them in their personal life, you can pray as much as you want. He didn't tell them they couldn't do that. Because he said, I pray in tongues more than all of you. Well, I'm going to tell you, he must spend a lot of time praying in tongues. And I'll tell you what, I'll tell you this downright straight. I know that I know this. This is why Paul fulfilled the ministry he did. Because he was more in contact with the inside than the outside. Because, you know what? He had people quit on him who were with the ministry in him. If they would have prayed in tongues more, they wouldn't have quit. See, I learned how to have longevity in ministry. The average person who goes in the ministry today lasts less than 5 years. I've been around the block a few times. I ain't going nowhere till God says.
Amen.
But see, you have to learn. One of the things, see, you learn out of the inside. The inside propels you. See, you can be propelled by a mind that is just, you know, thinks mostly natural, and that can be. That gets wearing after a while. You know, you may be able to fix some problems, you know, and put Band-Aids on things, but eventually it'll wear on you. Your body, if your body's over in the areas of dominating a lot, well, then your body, you're going to be irritated a lot. Because there's a lot around to irritate your flesh. You have to learn what you're going to have as superior. Tongues gives you a superiority over in the areas of the spirit where you're activating and using your spirit. You might say, well, it doesn't, I don't feel anything. Let me just say this about feeling. We need to understand your human body is the place where we have feelings, actual feelings from. You know, if somebody comes up and pinches you, you feel it. You know, things that happen, you feel. There's things that you see. This is where, now, your emotions and stuff are driven by your mind. This is why you got to renew your mind. Our emotions will dominate you and rule you. Whatever's happening. See, people don't feel it. You need to understand. See, this is what happens many times. Like people say, I feel the Holy Ghost. And say, no, it's a poor term to use because you don't feel it. It's something you sense in your spirit. If it was an actual feeling, then everybody would feel it. If it got hot in here, everybody would feel it. Except Sherry. She'd still be cold. But see, in this way, we need to be, because see, terminology is used. We need to be very careful. I like what I learned from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin says, use Bible words and then you'll know when you go to look it up to see what it is. Because many people talk about feelings and they're not, it's not natural. It's nothing natural. Something you sense on the inside of you. See, we need to get over what we sense on the inside. Because number one, I know this. My natural feelings will lie to me. My natural feelings will lie. I can feel some. Then I can get what we call, which is really, it's not a feeling because everybody else don't feel. We talk about, you know, having, you know, a feeling, you know, about something, which really is about an emotional thing in us. When we're emotionally, you know, we feel hurt, we feel this, we feel that, you know, and it's something psychological. It's not spiritual. You know, my mind can get upset, my flesh can get upset, and the guy on the inside just as happy as we can be. Well, you want to learn to allow that guy on the inside to dominate. And this is what the more we allow him to operate, the more he begins to take control, where your body will become more subdued. You won't respond as quickly to certain things like you did. See, I found out, I spent time with tongues. There's things that, you know, would aggravate me for a time, but I've learned now they don't aggravate me because I know what's going on now. I let the inner man go. And so this is what, the renewed mind, this is why we renew our mind into our thinking. Then our mind doesn't connect to the feelings of the flesh and what the flesh is going through. Because you know what? Everybody, your flesh, till Jesus comes and we get the new body, we're still dealing with this ugly thing. Treat it like it is. Treat it like it needs to be brought into submission. Always treat it like, it'll be happy today and tomorrow it wants to slap somebody. You know, if you ever had those feelings, you're dead. And we just haven't put you in a hole yet. You know, as long as you're alive, those things are going to happen. As long as you're alive. But see, those feelings, can they be controlled? See, my feelings before I was born again, they were uncontrolled. Wasn't no control on them. I said, my inner man was as dead as a guy on the outside. The inner man was as dumb as a guy on the inside. And see, I got born again. This is where the war goes on. Spiritual warfare isn't run out here and try to battle demons. Spiritual warfare is this. The Bible tells us, bringing thoughts into captivity. Amen. You know, most people, their greatest spiritual warfare is how they pray. They pray like they're trying to get God to do something. Anybody wants to do something, it's God. If anybody wants to do something good, it's God. I'm not trying to get God to do something. I'm finding out what He wants to do and hooking up with Him. And you know, we're a team. Workers together with Him. I'm not trying to twist His arm to do something for me. If I act good enough, then He'll do it. That's works. God blessed me before, God blessed all humanity. I mean, think about it. God is holding sin against nobody. We're told He does. No, He took the sin of the whole world. People are lost because they don't receive it. Not because He didn't give it. They didn't receive it. Said he took the sin of the world. And they tell people, you need to get saved. You know, you need to ask God to forgive your sin. No, you need to thank him. He did it. He's already forgiven you your sin. Dear Lord, everybody that's in hell today, how drastically terrible it is that they find out that all their sin was already forgiven. That God wasn't holding anything against them. That's a horrible thing. Horrible thing. And the church preaches like God's out to get them. So listen. See, don't know my God.
Amen.
He loves the unlovely. He loves the ungodly. Hallelujah. He's done what he is ever going to do to save them. We just need to tell him. You know what he did to say, just receive it. He loves you. He ain't holding sin against you. The scripture says he's not holding against him.
Amen. Hallelujah.
The reason the church is so mixed up is because God offered them tongues and they took the natural. God offered them something that would help carry them into the realm of the Spirit. The place that would give them rest from the outside turmoil, the thoughts of what's going on around. See, I can look when Biden was president and, you know, and praying for him. My heart really went out to him. He's in bad shape. He's a terrible place in his life. He's going off. If it don't change, he's going to go into eternity forever lost. That's a horrible thing. I didn't like any of his policies, but he's a man. Jesus died for him. Mm-hmm. God loved him. Amen. I'm required to. If I want to follow what's on the inside. And see, the love in me compelled to have compassion on him. I want him saved.
Amen.
This man's leading his whole family off into an eternity. That's why I'm so thankful, you know, was born in a Christian family. There's a lot they didn't know, but did one thing. They loved Jesus. And I tell you what, it made my life. It changed my life. I'm where I'm at today because someone loved me, let the love of God through them, that God could work in me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But see, when we pray, and this is one of the things dealing that I just want to get across here today to us, is in this thing. Because after he tells us, he said, this is a refreshing. And I don't know about you, I need refreshing. See, I can sit and pray in tongues. This morning, I just sitting and praying in tongues. I came into church, I was just praying in tongues. You know what? Didn't feel a thing. Natural? No, natural. I didn't feel like some kind of great anointing doing it. But the Bible says, we look old, Jude. Jude said, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So what am I doing? See, I'm going to be preaching. You can do it by faith. You don't do it. You know, because I believe God's going to anoint me. I can be here and I can come up and I don't feel like I have an anointing at all. I feel like my words, what am I going to say when I get up there? I don't care how good the notes are. It don't matter. You know, I can sit here and read your notes. You know, and maybe God will witness something to you, but I could be dead as a doornail. You know? But I know this, when I get up here, he wouldn't be stupid enough to call me to minister the word and then not anoint me when I get up here. If he has to give me goosebumps to get me up here, that's the law. He has to give me a feeling before I'll act. No, I can come up here because I know this. He'd be a fool not to anoint me. I'm being obedient.
Amen.
What a nut he would be.
Amen.
My God's not a nut.
Amen.
He's going to anoint me.
Amen.
He'll give me wisdom on what to say. He'll give me understanding. And it's just like with this. One of the things that he did here, in other words, this refreshing. Then he says, verse 13, I like this in Isaiah, because he makes this statement then. But the word of the Lord was to them. Precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. That they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and caught. And that's what happened to Israel. Listen to teaching. See, this is one of the things, this is why there's so much problem in the church today. In the areas of tongues and things, is because the subject's not taught. People want to have faith for what's not taught. We want to just get people filled with the Holy Ghost. Speaking. I know many people, like back during the charismatic renewal, one of the things that, when I came in, we got filled with the Holy Ghost. I was very fortunate under very good teaching and in the areas concerning these things. But many of the people weren't. Well, they come in by the tens and tens and tens of thousands of people being filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, I ministered with, I got numbers of Mennonites, and you Presbyterians and, any of the groups you could think of, brethren people and stuff, get them filled with the Holy Ghost. But many of them, they would just go back to their churches and listen to their teaching, and this is what happened after a while. They were walking in the light of it. They had a thing happen, having a good time for a while, but they didn't know what to do with it. See, it isn't enough. You need what to do. It's just like gifts of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter talks about there's these nine gifts of the Spirit there. At one time or another, I've had every one of those gifts operate through me, one time or another. Now, they operate, I don't have any of those gifts. Nobody does. They operate as the Spirit wills, not as man wills. It isn't something you get that you walk around carrying in your pocket. It says the Holy Spirit manifests them. Now, he may have certain gifts. There are certain gifts. The major gift that operates through me the most, but I think it would, I personally believe it'll operate pretty much through every believer if they'll pay attention, is the word of knowledge. You know, word of knowledge comes is knowing things that are outside your own knowledge and what you could know about individuals. Sometimes it works through me from this manner. I'll walk up and it's like laying hands on somebody. I'll touch somebody. And when I touch them, all of a sudden I know something. I know things. See, why is that? Now, I've had the ready that I just know things about concerning and that I have a touch. But I found it operated a lot that way is when I touch somebody, all of a sudden I know. I know something. And it was never God showing you stuff because he's trying to get the person to do something. It's not that. He wants to bless people. That's what he wants to do. Sometimes the person has a block in an area or something that's keeping them from getting to where they want to arrive to. But the word of knowledge probably operates the most. But I've had the other gifts of the Spirit, with tongues and interpretation and all those things. I've had manifestations of the gifts of healing through me, Now, we can lay hands on people by faith to be healed. We can, and I've seen just as great as by laying hands on faith as I have seen with gifts of healing. If you bring a person to the areas of faith. See, you don't have to, as Christians, you need to learn this. You got to come to a place where you can believe God and be healed, that you don't have to wait for a gift of the Spirit, because they only operate as the Spirit wills. So that means if the Spirit ain't kicking in to do that, you don't get it. Well, by faith, you can get it anytime you want it.
Amen.
And so you learned that. And see, that's what the Lord taught me. He would, when I first got saved, and you don't do this because I did it, but when I first got saved, he would never allow me to let anybody lay hands on me or do anything. He wouldn't allow anybody to tell me no. And I thought he was being ugly to Ed. I thought he was being mean to me. Why would he do that? Why, these other people, they get to do this. And then after some years have passed, and then he said this to me, he said, the reason, he said, I wouldn't allow you. He said, I wanted you to learn to operate by faith, because he said, I did that so you could teach other people how to do it. Well, I found this out. Most ministers don't know how to do it. They don't know how to teach people to get it themselves. They're always trying to get it through somebody else or with somebody else or something. I'll tell you what, the devil showed up at my house when I'm alone. I don't want to wait till Sunday for somebody to come and pray for me. If sickness comes on me, we're getting it off now. We're not going to wait till Sunday. We're not going to keep hacking and, go pay a doctor somewhere or something for a while and get to church and say, no, I learned how to get it off.
Amen.
I learned how to operate by faith. And what he was doing that for others. Because the gift in me ain't for me.
Amen.
It's not for me. My teaching gift's not for me. It's to teach others. That's what it's for. That's to teach others. See, everybody wants a gift. Gifts of healing don't operate to make you seem like you're something.
Amen.
That's right.
It shows Jesus is something.
Amen.
I don't heal people. I can't do it. God's a healer. He said, you just lay hands on those empty heads and I'll heal. That's what he had. But that's it. It's him. Mm-hmm. It's not us. See, many people come in, they're looking to the person, they're looking at this, No. Looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. What you're believing for, he'll do.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we want to walk in the light of that. Getting back over in the areas of teaching and being willing to sit down. A lot of people will come to you as a Christian and they want something instantaneously. They want something. And what they want, they'll come. You know, they got a problem. They've been putting up in there for the last 10 years. And then they finally get tired of it. And you pray and just throw it off of me so I can go back and do what I was doing. Now, people need to come down to be taught. They need to sit down and listen. See, I find many people, this is what they do, pray for me. And what they mean is, I'm going, you pray while I'm going, and I'm going to go do something, and you pray for me to change this in my life, because you know what? I want to change, but I don't want to be busy with it. I don't want to have to go through the thing. You seek God for me. People are doing that. We need to stop. Sometimes we don't ask enough questions to people about things. They come up, and they say they have a problem. They just want prayer. Give me prayer. Give me prayer. Give me this. Give me that. And we don't stop, because people need to be taught. See, we don't want people just, you know, if a person gets healed by a gift of the Spirit, and this is one thing, you can know this, if a gift of healing kicks in, it doesn't matter whether the person's in faith or not. They're going to get healed. That's a gift of the, that's the way they work. Well, you know, most people, we sort of leave the idea that that's the way, but most of the time it's not. Most of the time we're ministering to people, it's by faith. Now, I know what it is to have the anointing on me and that stuff, and you have the anointing. Now, when the anointing's on, we need to understand this. God gives some ministers special healing anointings. But that don't mean that everybody they lay hands on is going to get healed. People still have to respond by faith to them. See, when there's an anointing there, if you have somebody with a special anointing on it, and to me, if I was going to have hands laid on them, well, I'd say, my God, when I go down there and they lay hands on my empty head, we're going to get what we want. You know, that's God working. I'm taking it. It's mine. I'm going to have it. That's mine. And I walk away. I don't care if my body has changed at all. I'll say, thank God that healing went into me and it's a working. Glory to God. See, you got to act in faith toward it. Hallelujah. Kenneth Hagin had a special healing anointing when he first started. Jesus called him up to heaven, put his hands in his hands, and told him, you go back to earth and you minister healing. He said, you tell people this, that you saw me, that I put my hands in your hands and gave you a special anointing. If they will believe that, and you lay hands on them, they'll be healed. And he said, sure enough, everybody that believed it would get healed. But everybody, people who didn't get healed. They had to have belief. See, faith pleases God. Amen. This is why, you know, if you want to be more pleasing to God, you need to develop your faith more. Because the more you can believe Him, the more you please Him. It ain't the more you go to church, He's happy. The more you do this, the more I pray, He's happy. No. You can pray in unbelief. No, the more your faith develops, the happier He is. And tongues will require you to act in faith. And He's happy. And people say, now that tongues is crazy because I don't know what I'm saying. Thank God I don't know what I'm saying. Because if I got my mind in on it, we're in trouble. I'll probably say something stupid. Hallelujah. Just say, God can pray His perfect will out through an individual person. That's a phenomenal thing. I just think it is so wonderful that God could use me in that night. I just think that is such an awesome thing. Hallelujah. That I'm not stuck in this world where we can only have what Ed can figure out and do. I'm so glad. I'm glad. See, everybody wants a supernatural God that does nothing but natural. No, I want this supernatural God that does supernatural things and uses me beyond my intellect.
Amen.
Don't you?
Amen.
Just think, God can go beyond you. He can do exceedingly above what you imagine or think. According to what? The power working in you. Mm-hmm. Hoo-wee. Turn the Holy Ghost loose.
Amen.
And then, see, He wants to work. I can't believe those scriptures are in the New Testament, but the church don't know them. Oh, they'll say them. But He will do beyond what I can imagine or think. Well, one thing when I first read that, I thought, well, how does He do that? How does He work beyond my knowledge? I have to find a way that He can work beyond my knowledge. How can He use me beyond my knowledge? Well, I found out. how He can use me beyond my knowledge. Glory to God. It's wonderful. He has wonderful manifestations that are told in the Scripture that He can do beyond Ed. Hallelujah. This is a supernatural place to walk.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Well, you know, one of the things we want to do is this, is being filled with the Holy Ghost. Being baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost is an easy thing. God is not going to send the Holy Spirit. He's already here. He sent the Holy Spirit the day of Pentecost. Everybody walking around this earth today, the Holy Spirit's here. He's around people. God's here, the Bible tells it. You know, people say, well, God's everywhere. Well, if He is, let's start living like He's everywhere. He's,
amen.
God lives in me, but He also lives among us. Say, well, how does He do that? I don't know. I ain't God. I ain't figured that one out yet. But the Bible says it. I believe it's true.
Amen.
So God's present. Number one, God is present everywhere, so He's present here today. He is. Now, what we do is we respond by faith to His presence. Now, look, the same anointing that will heal you will fill you with the Holy Ghost. Same one. Same Spirit. It'll fill you. It'll do it. See, I want you to get into that thought. Get into it. See, healing's always around us. That's one thing, see, the Lord told me. He said ministering healing to people is you tell them that healing's here. Mm-hmm. Why? If God is here present, what, did He leave healing in heaven and He showed up here and He left His, you know, it's in a bag that He didn't get. The airlines got mixed up and it got dropped off someplace else. I don't know. No, healing is here. Amen. See, people are praying, trying to get here. It's here. Amen. Jesus is here. If a person's unsaved, they're not trying to get Jesus to save them. He already did. He's trying to get them to receive what's here.
Yes.
See, healing's here. The baptism, the Holy Ghost is here is here today. Jesus will baptize you in the Holy Ghost. That's what He would do. Jesus would, through the Holy Spirit, will heal you today. That's,
amen.
It's here.
That's right.
Now, I want you to get into that thought. Because, see, all of us in the areas of ministry, many of us do without things and without stuff. Not just in these things I'm talking about. Because we're trying to get it to us. Instead of realizing God's already given it. If He has already blessed me with every spiritual blessing. Now think about it. Is the baptism of the Holy Ghost a spiritual blessing?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Well, He said, I'm already blessed with it. Well, why are you not operating in it? Ain't received it yet. Mm-hmm. It's already here. Now, I understand this. It's not knocking anybody. It's because of the way we've been taught. We haven't been taught precept upon precept. Line upon line. We've been taught men's ideas about that. People praying and trying to, we got to get together and reach God. Get together. He lives in me. I ain't trying to reach Him. My God, He's got an apartment. Oh, He lives in me. Glory to God. I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's
praise
right.
God.
I'm not trying to get a hold of God. I don't need a telephone. My God, if it doesn't matter, all the towers can go down. I don't care. We're in contact.
Amen.
See, think about that. So what do? We believe and receive. See, whether it's healing or whatever, people, as a Christian. Now, concerning yourself personally, you can receive anything from God that He says in His Word yours.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to wait for it. See, I didn't. I got filled with the Holy Ghost in my bedroom at home. Heard teaching, I heard the right kind of teaching. I thought, well, you know, I can wait and got to church, somebody lay hands on my empty head. But I said, well, I can get it here. And right there in my bedroom, I got filled with the Holy Ghost.
Praise God.
What did I do? I just received it. I said, well, it's here, so I believe I'll receive it. Say, what'd you? I didn't feel a thing. But I said, praise God. I believe I got it. I believe I'm filled with the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. I believe it. Glory to God. And then I said this. Well, if I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, then I can speak in other tongues. I hadn't spoken a word in other tongues. But see, I started talking faith.
Mm-hmm.
That's faith. Believing you have something you can't see.
Yes.
That's what faith is. Believing something you can't see. And you know what? God said, I'm happy with that dude. See that guy out there? It's been as dumb as a stick. I'm happy with it. Hallelujah. See, I was glad not to be so bright or think I was so bright. Intellectualism is why a lot of people think too much. I like the ideas. I just had to receive something. Trying to figure out how to get it means I got to try to. Oh, that's my. Did you ever try to get something out of the government they said you could have? You know, when you got to try to figure out how you're going to get it. You got 490 steps you got to go through, and then they'll send you home and say, you missed this one step, and you got to go back again. Heaven ain't like that. Faith will write the whole ticket out for you. Hallelujah. But I want you to ask this morning. Is anybody this morning? Now, you're here. We're here together. You can do it. But any way you do it, we're going to use faith. That's what God wants. Mm-hmm. He wants faith because faith is what pleases Him. Now, in the areas, if anybody, it's both areas. The areas, whether it's baptism in the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, somebody wants to do that. Or if somebody healing. Anybody has healing or anything that they want to do? We want to minister this morning because it is a release of faith. It's all we do. You turn around, Lisa, take a hold of your faith. In a sense, it's like your hand. And it's like, if I handed you something, you know, if I took this Bible and I went and handed it to you and I went like this, all you're receiving something. That's all you're doing. You're just, I'm giving it. It's all, you're not trying to get Him to give it to you. He is going to when you ask for faith. That's what He does. So if anybody wants, you can come up. We'll lay hands on you. Does anybody need anything and anybody else want anything? Nobody wants anything? That's fine. But it's going to be the offer for it this morning. But we receive by faith. Hallelujah. You want? Come on up, guys. Yeah, sure. Anybody else? Now, whether it's healing or anything else. Now, I want you to say this. Is everybody else here? We're all filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking other tongues. See, you want to do it. I just want to say this thing. It will take your faith to another level.
Amen.
Now, I want you to understand this. Doing this, I found this out. I found out with people. People can sit in a church who are not filled with the Holy Ghost, and they will be limited how far they can go in faith. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is not going to reveal things to people that they're not going to use. There's no point to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like sending somebody. Now, today we do it, but you know, if somebody's in fifth grade and they can't pass fifth grade, there's no point in sending them to sit. Because they ain't going to do any better. You know, so we take a step. And taking that step opens the door to things.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. So both of you, stand here and face this way here. We'll have, turn toward me here. Turn toward me this way. And what we're going to do is just very simple. I'm going to pray a simple prayer. I'm going to lay hands on the two of you. Now, just forget about your mind and thinking in your mind. This isn't a mental process. And don't be afraid of anything and anybody will think you're weird. You're just in a weird group. That's what you're
saying.
See, we're the strange ones. We were the ones that Pentecost, they said, those guys are drunk. So you're going to join the drunk club. But it's the right drink. This is the right. That's what's going to be. That's right. Hallelujah. So, but I want you, see, you're going to get filled with new wine.
Amen.
And how do you do it? Well, you know, we talk about drinking. In other words, you use your mouth. That's what you use. You use your mouth in receiving. See, I'm going to lay my hands on you. You thank God that you receive the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Now, He'll give you the utterance. See, you don't want to use your mind because your mind ain't going to understand nothing anyhow. So you're going to sit and think in your mind. What happens? You shut off your spirit. But you're going to speak out in other tongues is what you're going to do. And I'm going to have everybody else here who is in the spirit. They're going to begin to pray in tongues. They're going to do that. Hallelujah. We're just sitting in an atmosphere here. But hallelujah. Thank God. God's going to fill you.
Amen.
If He didn't, He'd be a fool.
Praise God.
Now, you're not going to get it. Jesus said, if a guy out here is a good father, and his son comes and asks him for a fish. You know, he don't give him a scorpion, does he? And he goes on to tell him, you know, he asks for bread. Don't give him this. He said, how much more would your father give the Holy Spirit if you ask? Sound like he wants you to have it, don't it? That's what we're going to do. Father, I just want to thank you. Lord, my two brothers are here, and they want to go higher. And oh my God, we wanted to. Lord God, we wanted them to enjoy all the blessing that you've already given to them. Hallelujah. And today, they're receiving the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost, the anointing of God on their life. Father, we know that the Spirit of God dwells in them and bears witness in them. But hallelujah, your anointing is coming on them that's going to supernaturally charge their life for them and for others. They will be a blessing. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And in the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Spirit. Just don't sell it, but just speak it out. Don't be ashamed to speak it out. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, you both spoke in other tongues. So you had sounds coming out of you, didn't you? Well, see, it don't seem like anything, does it? It doesn't seem like nothing. No, it don't matter. See, you can do this. Let me just say this. Tongues is just like any language. It's a developed language. The more you use it, the more it develops. See, we laid hands on you. Did the Holy Ghost come on you?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So he filled you. So you can speak in other tongues. You can. You can. Hallelujah. Now, you need to understand this. You can speak in tongues at any time. You never have to have a feeling for it. Now, there's a whole difference between what Mike and I did this morning. The anointing come on him to speak. That was a gift of tongues. And I interpreted under that. Now, that doesn't mean that you might pray in tongues and even interpret your own prayer sometimes. That there, personally, you can at times. Many times I pray in tongues, I don't know what to pray. Sometimes I do. Sometimes the interpretation. Sometimes it's not necessarily interpretation, but I get a gist of what I'm praying in tongues. But see, just like this, I stop. Now, we can do this, and I want you to do this, and everybody with it. We can just start praying in tongues again. See, we're just going to yield to our inner man on the inside. Right now, Ashkondida Baronskanska la 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 gude de Baroshe de Mamonyanda, Don Skarada Godisha la 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 gude de Godisha de Bomaronda, Don Sarago la la Gadusha de Gonyama. Yeah, just hallelujah. Just let it come out of your mouth. It's a tongue, Dashkanamonte, Adosana Gonyala. It's down on the inside. What's on the inside coming up out of the outside? Hallelujah. Dushana Gonyala, Ronda Gadigishigan, Ronda Galabra Gadigishishki, Halagodisha. Now, I want you to understand this. See, this is not a mental process. Paul said, when I'm praying in tongues, he said, you pray in tongues, your understanding ain't working. See, this is the thing of faith. Because, see, people want to, well, don't sort of seem stupid. See, that's reasoning. God said it ain't stupid. You're praying His will and His purpose out. But naturally, it seems stupid. Naturally. See, this is why you can't get your mind, let your mind take you there. Because your mind will try to take you to the place of reasoning. This is why many Christians don't spend time praying in tongues. Because most of the church world is intellectual. And they're trying to understand everything with my... You know what? I still don't get it how God heals and does things. I just know that if I turn around and respond to it, He does things. You know, we're trying to put Him into a category and into a place instead of using faith and allow Him to go beyond. Exceedingly abundantly above what we imagine or think, that's where we want to go. And this is what it'll do for you. You know, just take time to sit down and do it. Say, Lord, right now. See, when Jude said, build yourself up in your most holy faith, pray in your Holy Ghost. I do this often. I say, Lord, Holy Ghost, right now, I just want to build myself up in my most holy faith. So I'm going to just pray in tongues, just building myself up. See, building up is the idea of charging like you charge a battery. I'm charging myself up on the inside.
Amen.
Well, you find out you charge yourself up on the inside. Don't be surprised something don't show up on the outside.
Amen.
But see, mostly Christianity wants something to show up on the outside. Then they'll say, well, God's moving. I'm sorry, I already know He's moving.
Amen.
See, He's on the inside. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God, you got it. Hallelujah. There's that old song of something on the inside working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, God's good.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All the time. He does wonderful things. We're going to go on in teaching this. As we go on and teach this on our website, which you'll see in the bulletin there, you go on there, you can download the free The sermons, Sunday sermons are all that are on there and things are on there. And Wednesday nights and stuff, they're on there. They can be downloaded free on there. So you can listen to his teaching as you go along. Because I think we're going to be in this series a long time. There's a lot of things that we want to touch in on this to get people so people can understand it in a greater way. And it'll be more beneficial to them and to others. Hallelujah.